Chapter 4, in which the Grace children look for a friend. Jared pressed his face up to the car window and tried to pretend that he wasn't crying. The tears fell, hot against his cheeks. He let them run down the cool glass. He hadn't actually hit Mallory. Simon had grabbed his arms while Mallory kept insisting that she hadn't taken the guide. All the shouting had brought their mother in. She had dragged them out of there, with lots of apologizing to the nurse and even to Aunt Lucy, who had to be sedated. On the way to the car, his mom had told Jared he was lucky the people at the institution didn't lock him up. "Jared," Simon whispered, putting his hand on his twin's back. "What?" Jared mumbled without turning. "Maybe Thimbletack took it." Jared swiveled around in his seat. His whole body went tense. The moment he heard it, he knew it had to be true. It was Thimbletack's latest prank and his best revenge. His insides felt as though they'd been splashed with ice water. Why couldn't he have figured that out for himself? Sometimes he got so angry that it scared him. It was like his mind went blank and his body took over. When they got home, he slid out of the car and sat down on the back steps instead of going into the house with his mother. Mallory sat down beside him. "I didn't take it," she said. "Remember when we believed you? Now you better believe me." "I know," Jared replied, looking down. "I think it was Thimbletack. I'm sorry." "You think Thimbletack stole the guide?" she asked. "Simon figured it out," said Jared. "It makes sense. Thimbletack keeps playing pranks on me. This is just the worst one yet." Simon sat down next to Jared on the stairs. "It'll be okay. We'll find it." "Look," Mallory said, picking at the hem of her sweater where a thread had unraveled, "it's probably for the best." "No, it's not," Jared said. "Even you should see that. We can't give back what we don't have. The fairies didn't believe Aunt Lucinda when she said she didn't have the book. Why would they believe us?" Mallory scowled and didn't answer. "I was thinking," Simon said. "Aunt Lucy said that her dad abandoned them, right? But if the field guide was still hidden in the house, maybe he didn't leave on purpose. She said he would never take off without it." "Then how come the book was still hidden?" Jared asked. "If fairies captured him, he'd have told them where it was." "Maybe he split before any fairies could catch him," Mallory said. "Let Lucy catch all the heat. Maybe he knew about the giant thing." "Arthur wouldn't do that," Jared said. As soon as he said it, however, he wondered if it was true. "Come on," said Simon. "We're never going to figure this out. Let's go visit Byron. He's probably hungry again, and it will get our minds off the guide." Mallory snorted. "Yeah, visiting a griffin living in our barn will definitely make us forget all about a book of supernatural creatures." Jared smiled vaguely. He couldn't stop thinking about the book, about Aunt Lucy and Arthur, and about himself and Mallory and the anger he didn't know what to do with. Jared looked over at her. "I'm sorry I tried to hit you." Mallory ruffled his hair and stood up. "You hit like a girl, anyway." "I do not," Jared said, but he got up and followed her and Simon inside with a grin. An old yellowed piece of paper was lying on the kitchen table. Jared took a step closer. A poem had been scribbled on it. "Thimbletack," Jared said.
"Rash child who thinks he's smart, wondering about your book? Maybe I'm tearing it apart or hiding it where you won't look."
"Wow, he's really mad," said Simon. Jared was torn between relief and horror. The book was with Thimbletack, but what had he done with it? Had it really been destroyed? "Hey, I know," Mallory offered hopefully. "Aunt Lucy's Jackson marbles. We could leave them for him." "I'll write a note." Simon turned over the paper and scrawled something on the back. "What does it say?" Mallory asked. "We're sorry," said Simon. Jared eyed the note skeptically. "I'm not sure if that and a bunch of old toys will be enough." Simon shrugged. "He can't stay mad forever." Jared was afraid he could do exactly that. Byron was sleeping when they went to check on him, his feathery sides heaving with each breath. His eyes darted back and forth beneath shut lids. Simon pointed out that they probably shouldn't try to wake him, so they left another plate of meat by his beak and walked back to the house. Mallory suggested a game, but Jared was too nervous to do anything except try to figure out where Thimbletack could have hidden the guide. He paced the living room, trying to think. Maybe it was like a riddle with a way to solve the puzzle. He thought about the note again, turning it over in his mind, looking for clues. It can't be inside the walls. Mallory sat cross-legged on the couch. It's too big. How could he get it in there? There are lots of rooms we've never even been in, Simon said, perching next to her. Lots of places we haven't looked. Jared stopped mid-stride. Wait, what about right in front of us? What? Asked Simon. In Arthur's library. There are so many books up there, we would never notice it. Hey, that's true, Mallory said. Yeah, said Simon. And even if the guide isn't there, who knows what else we'll find? The three went upstairs into the hall and opened the closet door. Crouching down, Jared crawled through the secret passage underneath the lowest shelf and made his way into Arthur's library. The walls were lined with bookshelves, except for where a large painting of their great uncle hung. Despite their many visits to the library, dust still covered most of the bookshelves, a testament to how few of the volumes had been inspected closely. Mallory and Simon scrambled in behind him. Where do we start? Simon asked, looking around. You take the desk, Mallory said. Jared, you take that bookshelf, and I'll take the one over here. Jared nodded and tried to brush off some of the dust on the first shelf. The books were as strange as he remembered from previous trips to the library. Physiognomy of wings, impact scales on musculature, venoms of the world, and details of draconite. When Jared had first looked at them, however, there had been a kind of awe that was absent now. He felt numb. The book was gone, Thimbletack hated him, and Arthur wasn't the person he'd imagined. It was a cheat, all this magic. It seemed so great, but underneath, it was just as disappointing as everything else. Jared glanced over at the painting of Arthur hanging on the wall. He didn't even look nice to Jared anymore. The Arthur in the painting was thin-lipped, with a crease between his brows that Jared now figured was annoyance. He was probably thinking about leaving his family even then. Jared's vision blurred and his eyes burned. It was stupid to cry over someone he'd never met, but he couldn't help it. Did you sketch this? Simon called from the desk. Jared wiped his face against his sleeve, hoping his twin didn't notice the tears. Just toss it. No, Simon said. It's good. It really looks like Dad. Learning to draw had been another stupid idea. All it had done was get him in trouble at school for doodling instead of working. He walked to the desk and tore the drawing in half, crumpling it in his fists. Just toss it. Guys, Mallory said, come here. Mallory held several rolled-up sheets of paper and two long metal tubes. Look. She knelt down and began unrolling pages on the floor. The boys crouched around. There, sketched in pencils and painted in watercolors, was a map of their neighborhood. Some places didn't look quite right. There were more houses and more roads now, but there were a lot of places they still recognized. The notes, however, were a surprise. There was a thin circle surrounding a stretch of forest behind their house, with letters printed inside the circle. Troll hunting territory, Simon read. Mallory groaned. If only we'd had this before. Along a stretch of road near an old quarry, dwarves was written, while a tree not far from the house was clearly marked sprites. The strangest thing, however, was a note on the edge of the hills close to their house. It looked like it had been written hastily, as the handwriting was sloppy. It read, September 14th, 5 o'clock. Bring the remains of the book. What do you think it's about? Simon asked. Could the book mean the field guide? Jared wondered aloud. Mallory shook her head. Could be, but the guide was still here. They looked at each other for a moment in silence. When did Arthur disappear? Jared finally asked. Simon shrugged. Probably only Aunt Lucy would remember. So either he went to the meeting and never came back, Mallory said, or he took off and never went to the meeting at all. We have to show this to Aunt Lucinda, Jared said. His sister shook her head. It doesn't prove anything. It'll just make her more upset. But maybe he didn't mean to leave, Jared said with a scowl. Don't you think she deserves to know that? Let's go and look ourselves, Simon said. We can follow the map and see where it leads. Maybe there'll be some clue about what really happened. Jared hesitated. He wanted to go. He'd been on the verge of suggesting it himself when Simon had spoken, yet now he couldn't stop himself from wondering if it was some kind of trap. Following this map would be really, really dumb, said Mallory, especially if we think something might have happened to him out there. That map is so old, Mallory, Simon said. What could happen? Famous last words, Mallory said, but she traced the hills on the map thoughtfully with her fingers. It's the only way we will ever find out anything, said Jared. Mallory sighed. I guess we could take a look, as long as it's daytime. But the first weird thing we see, we go back. Agreed? Agreed, Jared said with a smile. Simon started to roll up the map. Agreed, he said.